What are you willing to endure for the sake of being, well, to put it bluntly, right? You're right. Everyone else is wrong. What are you willing to endure for that? Now, nowadays we think, oh, if you're kind of in the minority, you got to get over yourself and get with the program. But the saint that we're honoring today is one of those who was so convinced in the righteousness of his positions that he was willing to endure alienation a number of times. And Saint Athanasius is one of my favorite of the fathers of the church, which, as you all know, is not saying much, because favorites of Father Bill are a dime a dozen. But he is one that's perhaps not as well known, although we go out of our way to celebrate his feast day today. But usually when I talk about Saint Athanasius, people say, Saint Atha what? You know, it's not a name you might remember. But he's one of the early fathers of the church from the 4th century, born roughly around 298. He died on May 2nd in 373, presumably in Alexandria of a wealthy family, because he received a good classical and Christian training. He served as a lector and a deacon, and then was chosen to be patriarch of Alexandria in 328, remaining bishop there, despite 5 exiles from the Roman Empire because of his positions and antagonism of the current theological error of the time, which is Arianism. He holds the world record for the number of exiles in one lifetime, because he was a feisty defender of the faith against Arianism and was declared a doctor of the church by acclamation. And most of his writings are directed against Arianism in a defense of the Trinity and the divinity of Jesus. And he writes in several letters, such as discourses against Arianism, letters and commentary on the Psalter. And he also wrote a very well-known life of St. Anthony of the Desert. But in his defense of the Trinity, and especially of the divinity of the Son, he makes a distinction of Arianism. What is that heresy, that error, that became so widespread that actually the majority of Christians held to this particular error, and even the majority of bishops? It was the faithful who held fast to the true teaching, and eventually the true teaching won out, because, not in no small part because of such saints as Athanasius. But in summarizing Arianism, Athanasius writes, God was not always a father, but subsequently became so. The Son did not always exist, for he did not exist before he was begotten. He derived this existence not from the Father, but from nothing. He is not properly of the Father's nature, for he is both created and made. Christ is not true God, but became God only after, by participation. The Son did not comprehend the Father, nor is the Word of the Father, but only in name is he said to be Word and wisdom, and only by grace, Son and virtue. You listen to that, it's like the Nicene Creed from an evil parallel universe. It's like the exact opposite of what we profess in the Nicene Creed, which was a council that Athanasius participated in. I spoke a bit of it yesterday in my homily. He was one of the great fathers of the Council of Nicaea. He goes on to write, Catholicity, on the other hand, holds, quote, the Son is the true and genuine Son of the Father by nature and is properly of his substance. He is the only begotten wisdom, the true and unique Word of God, not being created or made, but the fetus, the proper offspring of the Father. Therefore, he is true God and consubstantial with the true Father. He is the figure of the Father's substance, light from light of light, the power and true image of the Father's nature. For the Lord himself said, he who sees me sees the Father. He was and is thus always, and never was he not. For since the Father is eternal, so his word and wisdom must likewise be eternal. He goes on to say, God is certainly a unity, but in this unity is included a Trinity. There is one divinity in this Trinity. There is but one divinity and one God in three persons. He then speaks of the divinity of the Son. He argues from the principle, for God to generate is the same as for God to be shared. God being without parts, God is Father of the Son without partition. And so Athanasius concludes that all members of the Trinity must be homogeneous. The Son is homoousios, of the same nature as the Father. And since the divine nature cannot be divided, the Son has received the fullness of the Father's substance, and therefore there can be only one Son. And he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit as well, but he writes very eloquently in defense of what eventually came to be defined formally by the Council of Nicaea, which, when it comes to conciliarism, which I actually talked about in yesterday's homily, he states of the Fathers of Nicaea, he says, the Fathers of Nicaea never said of faith, it is decreed, but thus the Catholic Church believes. Thus the Catholic Church believes. And in declaring what they believe, they declared it to be not a recent, but an apostolic doctrine. What they committed to writing was not discovered by themselves, but are the same things that the apostles taught. And that's where he describes the conciliar function in the church, that they didn't invent these teachings, but these were the teachings of the apostles, which were affirmed and defined and asserted by the council. So we have one of the greatest of the early saints and one of the greatest of the doctors of the church from the earliest centuries, the fourth century, a man who endured a great deal because he was right, because he believed his teaching was right, the others were wrong. He was exiled often by the emperor because he was so antagonistic to those who did not hold to that particular teaching. And we see a great lesson in someone like Athanasius. When it comes to matters of faith, in a church or in a society in which the values are not consistent with traditional Christian values or traditional social values of that society, in our case it is Judeo-Christian values, don't ever be afraid to be right. Don't ever be afraid to antagonize people who are wrong. But know your faith. Know the ins and outs of it so that you can effectively defend it. We call that apologetics, and we call that evangelization, something that Pope Francis, Pope Benedict, and John Paul II have called all of us to engage in. And only then will we see things in our church continue to remain unified and stable, instead of these different factions saying different things, but remaining true to the consistent teaching of the church and what it calls on all of us to be and to believe as followers of Christ, and then standing in the face of a society that is moving so rapidly away from Christian values, in which those of Christian values are never really, you know, told that we're wrong. We're told that we're out of style. We're told that we're behind the times. In other words, we're shamed for not going with the flow. And folks, it works. It works. We don't want to impose. We don't want to be judgmental. We don't want to make people angry. We don't want to be divisive. All the things that they say negatively of Christianity, which actually should be things we hope we should wear as a badge of honor. We are divisive. We are insistent. We are, well, for lack of a better term, judgmental. We can cause consternation because we stand for a faith that has been around for 2,000 years and values that have built up Western culture, Western society, and values upon which this nation, at least, was founded upon. But we've been shamed away from it because some people don't like it. Well, Athanasius endured 5 exiles, the world record of exiles in one lifetime, because he asserted that and he was not afraid of doing that. And in the end, he and others like him won out. The teachings that they so eloquently defended in their writings became the definitions, the clarifications of our faith as followers of Christ and as a Catholic Church in the very first of the 21 ecumenical councils we had in our history. And it's almost a shame that today is only a memorial. If it were a solemnity, we'd be reciting the creed following the homily. But we have so much of that creed that we owe to the teachings of Athanasius and people like him, because he held fast, even in the midst of a majority of Christian, even Christian leaders, who were falling into an error. And he's a tremendous example for all of us as we stand in front of a society that is pushing aside Christianity, to be bold, to be firm, to really reflect on what we are willing to endure for simply being right.